In the name of the one who came to save. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Matthew and Luke give those very words to Jesus, a Jesus who longs to gather in the angry and the unwilling under his wing, as a mother hen would tenderly gather in her chicks. And as we enter Holy Week together this morning, the city itself is a character in all that will unfold. And it is in the telling of his grand and palmy entrance, in his betrayal, and in his crucifixion that our four Gospels seem closest to each other. The account of these several days, in fact, is probably where our Gospels began, with furtive, frightened groups of the very first Jesus people moving through the city and reminding each other, perhaps within days of these events. Here's where he came in. That's where I was standing. This is where Peter stood. That's the stone bench. Here's where they put the robe on him. That's where he picked up the cross. He carried it that way through the gate. He died there. Jesus' people have never stopped doing that. And after two millennia, it's big business in Jerusalem. Mark's gospel, probably written within a generation of these events themselves, gives such granular accounting of this that Matthew and Luke just picked most of it up, adding some detail but retaining the essential flow from palm procession to supper to betrayal to torture to death's destruction. This is our story. This is our song. And it all happens in a city. Now, when I had the chance to visit that city myself a few years ago on a pilgrimage with about two dozen of us, I was astonished, first of all, by how small and compact a place Jerusalem is. I'd always imagined the Mount of Olives and the Kidron Valley as the White Mountains, or in a kind of Adirondack scale, not as the hillside and the gully that they turned out to be. The old city is tiny and teeming and thrilling, though, in a way that most cities are not. Orthodox Jews, Ethiopian Christians in white robes, Muslims, Israeli soldiers with automatic weapons, Korean Methodists following their guide. Above the crowded plaza at the Western Wall, there was a vigilantly guarded pedestrian footbridge arcing up to the Dome of the Rock, one of Islam's most sacred destinations, and beneath that dome, and off limits to us, the foundation stone itself, Sakra in Arabic, believed by Talmudic scholars and by many modern Jews to be the place from which the entire world sprang into being. On our first night in Jerusalem, our hosts showed us an image like this. This map is German, it's from the mid-1500s, and it captures that belief in Jerusalem as the place from which all creation springs, the navel of the world. It kicks up other ideas for me too. As in the last days of Jesus, when the city was teeming with devout Jews observing the Passover, with nervous Roman guards, with visitors like Simon of Cyrene from as far away as modern Libya, Jerusalem remains a place where people of different races, of different faiths and convictions and passions, grind together and against each other with the force of tectonic plates. I sensed a kind of charge there, as if anything beautiful or violent could happen at any moment. This old map reminds me of the Trinity, too. It shows us, perhaps unintentionally, a world in which Europe, Asia, and Africa are co-equals. without discernible superiority or subjugation, emanating from the same sacred place, co-equal, co-eternal. That idea crops up in Jerusalem too. Relations between the three Christian denominations, which claim the Church of the Holy Sepulchre as their home, has sometimes been so angry and fraught that the very keys to this church, which shelter both Golgotha and Jesus' tomb, are in the permanent care of Muslims. It's as if for Jerusalem to live, to maintain its precarious balance, sectarian triumph must be denied. Triumph denied. As Holy Week begins this morning, this is our story. This is our song. Where else would Jesus go but Jerusalem, if his goal is to show us how to live together as God's children? For days now, Jesus has been telling Peter that whatever authority this growing team can claim, it must be anchored in humility and sacrificial love. He has been warning all who will listen against seeking triumph, if that triumph entails the subjugation of others, the besting of others. He's already warned them about excess bread, about carrying too much luggage, about freeing themselves from money, about wearing humble sandals. He's warned them not to wear two tunics in the grandiose style of wealthy Romans. And this morning he chooses a humble and homely donkey for his grand entrance, a shrewd piece of street theater, a cagey contrast to the magnificent mounts of the occupying Romans. A few days later, he will fasten a towel around his waist and kneel like a servant at Peter's feet to bathe them, a move that will further rattle the senior disciple and his ideas about authority and kingship and triumph. "Here we are," says Jesus, "and this is the only way out." And it won't look at all like anyone's usual idea of triumph. In fact, by Friday, it will look like something else altogether. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Here, perhaps, is the hard and thrilling and sometimes anguishing dimension of our faith. Jesus' ministry has been moving to Jerusalem because it is only there, in Jerusalem, that his love can be made fully known. Just as our own love cannot move forth if we remain outside of the city, that is, as at a deliberate remove from those with whom we disagree, apart from those from whom we differ in our loyalties and identities and convictions. I often find it frustrating that Jesus does not ride into Jerusalem toting a set of specific political or ideological proposals to combat poverty or reduce the wealth gap. He's not, however, offering us a set of ideas. And I have come to believe that he has very little use for our remorse. Instead, as he moves through these streets, which this Holy Week become our streets, he's modeling a new way of living, a different order of kingdom. He's here to save us from our worst selves, to make the murderous city new. Jerusalem may stone and crucify the prophets, but it's also the city that educated the Israeli poet Yehuda Amichai, who lived and studied there for many years before his death in the year 2000. I'll leave you this morning an offer as a beginning to your holy week, a short poem of Amichai's that brings me each year to the heart of Holy Week. It's a city poem, a poem of crowded sidewalks and of contention. And it's called The Place Where We Are Right. The Place Where We Are Right. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world like a mole, a plow, and a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. Amen.